we did thank you this evening that when we needed help and love, Lord, it came down from above. Lord, we were certainly below you. Lord, we had no way of lifting ourselves out of the horrible pit we were in. Lord, we thank you that you reached down and you stretched forth your many arms and you saved us and rescued us and delivered us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your compassion and your long suffering towards each and every one of us. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it brought you to Calvary. And we thank you, Lord, that there you hung on the tree, Lord, that Mons could go free from his sin. We thank you, Lord, that the sinless became as a sinner. We thank you, Lord, that you took our guilt upon your very self, that we would be made the righteousness of God in you.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, this afternoon that we can come boldly into your presence by thy precious blood, by a new and living way. We thank you, Lord, that the veil of the temple has been rent in twain from the top to the bottom.
Amen.
Lord God, we give you thanks. Lord, for no man could do it.
Amen.
It took a superman. It took a supernatural man.
Thank you.
It took that man of Galilee. Amen. Lord Jesus, we bless your name this evening. And we lift you up on the earth of truth. We say there is none like you. Lord, we just want to say thank you this afternoon. Lord, for you've done great things for us. We're all for God. Lord, we want to be like the one in the Bible, Lord, who came back to give you thanks. For Lord, you're doing stuff for us every day. Lord, we're all the time asking. Lord, we want to say thank you this evening. We thank you for saving us.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for going to Calvary. We thank you, Lord, even for rising from the dead.
Amen.
And we thank you that you ever live and that they're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Will you ever live to make intercession for the saints? We thank you, Lord, that Jeremiah proclaimed that your mercies are new every morning.
Hallelujah.
And great is thy faithfulness unto me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful, loving, healing Saviour. And we pray, Lord, this evening that you will indeed help us to be glad in you. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven. We thank you, Lord, for the great deliverance which you have delivered us from. We thank you, Lord, that you have broke the chains and you have set us free.
Hallelujah.
And your banner over us is love.
Yes,
Lord, we pray this evening, Lord, that us we would be gathered in this place, that you will accept our praise and accept our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord, that for the one that opens your word this evening, Lord, that you'll pour out, Lord, your spirit upon him, Lord, and even take a coal from off thine altar, Lord, and touch the lips of clay, we pray, to anoint them to preach thy word with boldness in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, even as thy word goes forth tonight, we pray that it'll be like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll break up all the fallow ground.
Yes,
Lord, make the ground that will receive the seed, make it prepared in the name of Jesus Christ, that it will take root downward and bear fruit upward in the name of Jesus Christ, our King, we pray.
Amen.
Can we sing that, these are the days of Elijah? We haven't sang that in a long time, and we have advanced it.
These are the days of your life.
seat is the stall just before the pastor comes to sit and praise God. Okay, let us sing that little chorus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it on the earth.
Everyone. Let's sing that chorus, and I love it so much. When his wounded hand touched mine, praise God. Jesus set me free for all eternity when his wounded hand touched mine. Amen. Something about the Lord's touch.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's sing it, brother. Praise the Lord.
When his wounded hand touched mine.
Evening, as we bow before the Lord tonight, and I greet everyone here and those listening in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is tonight, I want you just to believe God that you will receive a touch from his wounded hand. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that your ear is open to our cry. That your arm is not shortened, but God, you do hear and answer prayer.
Amen.
And you're closer than the very breath we breathe. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against every work of the devil.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, by the power of your blood. I rebuke the devourer over your people tonight.
Amen.
I speak health and healing and strength upon your people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Encourage your own people and strengthen them and bless them this evening. Now, Lord, as we open your word, give us an inspiration from the word, even as our brothers prayed, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray again for our brethren in Gormley, for Pastor Billy, for the whole fellowship, that you will bless them and heal them. Especially for Brother Brian, raise him up upon his feet.
Yes, Lord.
That he'll come home well in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said, decree a thing and it shall come to pass.
Amen.
Father, we decree it and speak it in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Brother Ken and his wife and the fellowship. You'll heal every one of them in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. Lord, we'll give you the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I want us to turn again this evening in our Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I read it last week. And I want to read it again this week. And I maybe pronounced one of the words a wee bit wrong last week. I've been practicing all week. I'll probably get it wrong again. But I've even brought another version to try and help me. Praise God. But I just trust the Lord will help us. Praise God. But I love the Word of God. You know, when I was in America with the brethren and 91, As we would travel all day and for days, I just read the Bible.
Yeah.
I remember going over once in a boat from Ireland. We went into France, and it was quite a journey. And I was reading, and I got carried away reading. I'm loud, I can't help it. And the fella knocked the door, and he said, "Would you turn your radio off? We can't sleep." But it was me reading the Bible. Then there was a storm come up, and I started praying. I got in trouble again. But praise God.
The
Lord's good, isn't it? 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation.
Amen.
That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I'm chief. Now that word acceptation means favorable regard.
Amen.
Approval.
Amen.
Here's also another way it says it. This saying is sure and true and worthy of full and universal acceptance. That means it's for everybody.
Amen.
For everybody. Universal acceptance. Whosoever. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Let me say this as I start tonight, and I want to preach again. Part 2, a Savior for no one but sinners. In every high school class, the most deserving student, the most excellent student that gets the best grades, gets the greatest reward. That scholar will secure a scholarship in the university if its grades are the highest. The reward goes to the deserving. In business, employees who turn out the best work receive raises in pay, or even sometimes a Christmas bonus. But in contrast to that natural principle, the Lord Jesus says that this is for nobody but sinners. He'll take the down and out, the dirtiest, the filthiest, the lowest there is in society,
amen,
Jesus Christ will see.
Amen.
Your high standing won't put you in favor with God. Your nice uniform or suit or whatever we want to call it will not ever put you in favor with God. For he will only save sinners.
Amen.
He's a savior for nobody but sinners. The righteous don't need him. They don't need him. He came not for the righteous, but sinners.
Amen.
And Romans tells us, and I love Romans. Romans says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Grace, that's the unmerited favor of God. Do you know grace? Grace is God's favor to the undeserving, to the down and right, to the prostitute, to the drunkard, to the homosexual. I don't care how low or filthy what people may think they are. Every one of us was as guilty as they are. And a man can never be saved, or a woman, until they realize, firstly, they are a sinner. The Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity with no choice. You were born with brown eyes or blue eyes. You couldn't tell your mom or dad before you were born because you weren't here. Whatever color eyes you were born with was predestined. That's the way it was going to be. And you were born a sinner by nature. You had no choice on it. But Christ has made a way.
Amen.
Back to God for the sinner. I heard a man preaching over the lockdown, and he preached a simple little thought, and he said, we were at a distance from God. Social distancing, where science is up here tonight, social distance rules apply. And we were at a distance from God because social distance rules apply in the Bible. Our sins separate us from God. Our sins took us away from God, but on the cross 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ bridged the gulf.
Amen.
He bridged the gulf. And he made a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. For the lowest, for the down and right, from the guttermost, P.L. Nicholson said, to the uttermost.
Amen.
From the guttermost to the uttermost, Christ saves sinners. Here we see also in Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous but sinners. The dying faith on the cross beside Christ was more important to the Lord than the self-righteous high priest was.
That's right.
You realize that? The faith that two malefactors hang with a Judah. He was more important to the Lord than the self-righteous priest. The priest couldn't be saved. He was too good to get saved. There's a lot of people and they're too good to get saved here in Northern Ireland, you know.
That's right, amen.
There's churchgoers that they don't think they need to be saved. They think because they belong to something important, they're going to get into heaven, but I'm sorry, they won't. Except a man is born again.
Amen.
He cannot see the kingdom of God. He's a savior for no one but sinners. Hallelujah. Christ crucified. The dying feast was a self-confessed sinner, so he could be saved. Here is a principle we must always remember and never forget. Jesus will save any sinner who wants to be saved. There's no sinner that the Lord will not save. The Bible says all manner of sins shall be forgiven except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. He'll save all that will come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Any sinner that will acknowledge and come to the Lord will and can be saved. And he won't save you for a week or a month. He'll save you for all time. And thank God for all eternity.
Amen.
You're saved forever. Hallelujah. You see, a lot of people's like Indian givers. You ever hear of an Indian giver? An Indian giver will give you something in a couple of years that might want it back again. But the Lord's not an Indian giver. He says, I will give unto you eternal life.
Amen.
Eternal life.
Amen.
There's no eternal life outside of Christ. But with Jesus Christ there is eternal life. Hallelujah. He will save. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, nobody else. Every one of us has failed. We've all been guilty of breaking God's law at some point in our lives. That's because we cannot save ourselves. Christ died for the ungodly. See, we were without God. We were ungodly. You know, I love the book of Hebrews as well. The book of Hebrews starts off, in some dry times and divers manners, God speak in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And when you study it, it means in parts and parcels, a wee bit at a time. But it all pointed forward to Calvary. But then he says, in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When the fullness of time was come, he sent Christ Jesus to save sinners. Romans 5 verse 68, for when you were yet without strength. You know, like a wee baby that's just born, it's without strength. It depends on his mother. If you leave it, it won't survive. You have to dress it, clean it, and do everything for it. And we were without strength like little babies before God. And when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die yet peradventure. For a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. That means he gave it forward to us. God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us so much he died on the cross for us. You know, the Bible talks about some would even dare to die. But Christ did die. He didn't dare to do it, he done it. He went the whole way to Calvary. The Bible says he set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem, knowing he would die on the cross for our sins. He that had no sin became sin for me and you. Why did he become sin? Because he took our sin. He took our place. That's why the gospel's good news. It's good news. Okay then, no sinner may despair. It is for you that Christ died. It is for you that the promises and the mercies of God's written. It is for you the good news of the gospel's written in the Bible tonight. Wonder of wonders, wonder of wonders, Christ died for sinners.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says it's a faithful sign. It has been the marvel of the ages that Christ can redeem the vilest sinner. It's a marvel. A man that could be a jailbird, even a murderer, and the Lord can save him. And I've known men, and you hear people saying, "I mean, did he not do this? Did he not do that?" Then Paul the Apostle said, some of us were adulterers, some of us were fornicators, but now we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And where's your sins gone? Gone where? Gone away. Washed away in the sea of God's forgetfulness, for the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Sins of your youth are gone because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. In heaven we will be happier, I'm sure, because there will be so many Mary Magdalenes. You know, he cast a load of devils out of her. There'll be drunkards, harlots, convicts, dope addicts, and those that might have once been slaves to sin and perversion in heaven, because they repented and came to the Lord.
Amen.
And got saved. Who have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing,
nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I heard a wonderful testimony of a young man. And his mother tried to preach to him. She said, "Come and hear the word of God. The wheat of the word been sown." And he said, "Mother, I'm sowing wild oats," was his own words. And he went out and he done whatever he done. But he fell ill and he came to the tent meeting. And he said he never could tell you one thing the preacher preached, but the closing song was, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus."
Amen.
And through that closing song, the Holy Spirit gripped him, convicted him, and saved him.
Amen.
The precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Here is the invitation to every sinner, and this is the scripture God gave me many years ago. 1989, Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." When people say to me, "It can't happen," I go back to this and I remind myself what God told me. God told me what I would do if I obeyed him. Not obey some man,
right,
but the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If you're pleasing men, you're not pleasing God.
That's right.
You know, Wigglesworth said, if you're going through a hard time, praise God, you're disturbing the devil.
That's
right. It's running too smooth, you're giving him no trouble.
Hallelujah.
But I'll tell you, when there's a battle on, you know something's happening.
Hallelujah.
We're in a spiritual warfare. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But we have somebody higher, and the heavens of heaven can't contain the one we have higher. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the majesty in high. That means all power is his and all authority. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what it means for the right hand, all powerful. I tell you, he's on our side tonight. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Be of good cheer.
Hallelujah.
Jesus says, "I've overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil."
Right.
And he's in you tonight if you're saved. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation.
Amen.
Have to watch that.
Amen.
"That Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief." There has been many an argument about whether Paul was really the chief of sinners or not. Now you know he held the coat of those that stoned Stephen, but follow me for a moment this evening. There is no record that he was ever guilty of any grosser sins. None. He held the coat of stone Stephen, but there's no record of other things he did. You don't read he was a drunkard or a fornicator, none of them things. No record of it. We only can go by the scripture and what it tells us how he was. Doesn't say he was ever drunk on them things. By divine inspiration, he tells us how blameless he had been through his life. And he tells us of the standard he had. Paul does tell us this. Now follow with me what he tells us. Philippians 3:6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. So Paul is saying he was blameless. I want you to see how good Paul was, yet he was a sinner. There's a lot of people today. You see, when Paul persecuted the church, he done it out of ignorance. He thought he was doing God a favor.
Yes.
And some people could be against you, and they actually think they're doing God a favor.
Right.
Did you realize that?
Yes.
Paul was like that. How many knows Paul was one of them?
Right.
Didn't the Lord Jesus say, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? What? I never persecuted you. Oh, you did. You're against my people, you're against me.
Amen. That's right.
But he thought he was doing a good thing, didn't he? We learn as we read in the preaching verse, he was an Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee. But the strictures of the Pharisees, Paul, even before his conversion, had given himself to prayer and keeping of the law. And even the ceremonial righteousness, when Paul stood before the Sanhedrin at Jerusalem after his arrest, Acts 23:1, here's what he says. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. So you see, there's a lot of people and they think they don't need saved for they're too good. But I think Paul's shown us here something. We must believe then that Paul, by human standards, would have been counted a good man. Would you agree with that? Moral man. How then can we recognize his inspired statement that he's chief of sinners? He kept the law, he kept the ceremonies, he did all these things, but yet he says, I'm chief of sinners. God inspired him to say that. Because he's a message. A message that must be preached and a message that must be heard. It is obvious that in God's sight, getting drunk is not the greatest sin. The prostitute in the streets is not the greatest sin. People hit the things they see. But I'm going to deal with some of the night they don't see. And it's worse than any of these. And it's in the Bible. And a lot of people put it to the side and they never preach about it and they never mention about it. I remember listening to mine years ago. I think maybe Geordie was with me. He preached about a cigarette all night. And he brought a pen out of his pocket and he showed us this wee thing. Now he preached well. There's nothing wrong with what he said. But he took the service about the cigarette. But I'm going to tell you a wee thing that will shock some of you. The old brethren assemblies used to have a pipe stand in the hallway. And when they came in, they hung their pipes up before the meeting. See, here Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, smoked. Now, a fellow said to me one day, Tom, what are you saying? Well, smoking send me to hell. I says, no, but you'll smell like you've been there.
Amen.
You see, a man could smoke and be saved. Do you know that? Well, some of these are questioning it. But do you think there's no other things wouldn't be worse than smoking? I can assure you there is. Now, if he's really saved, he shouldn't smoke. That's not sanctification then, you would have to say. And let me say, Spurgeon, God dealt with him on it. God dealt with him on the smoking, let me say that. But I'm just telling you, and I didn't even know that about the brethren, but I was on the phone with a certain fella, Bobby knows him as well, and he says, Tom, do you remember in the certain gospel hall that we stand when you come in? And I said, I do. He says, that was where they hung the pipes up. Well, you had the pipes with them at church. Not unbelievable. But yet you see, there it was. Now listen to this. It is obvious in God's sight the drunkard is not the greatest sin. The worst sin are the sins of the heart. That's the worst sins. The sins of the heart. That's the sins that a man and a woman thinks nobody sees, but God sees it.
That's right.
The sins of the heart God sees. Your sister, your brother, or your friend might see it. If you're really born again, you don't want to have them sins. People who outwardly make a fine show of morality may have the blackest heart, who God can see plainly. God can see it. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We know Paul held the garments of those that stoned Stephen. We know that. The first Christian martyr, Stephen, he perhaps thought of himself as a murderer many times after it. He had to go through that. And God says to him, you're going to suffer greatly. But he was still the Lord's servant, for he got saved. He met with the Lord. But he was cleansed and forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12 and 13. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who have enabled me. This is Paul. For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who put him into the ministry? The overseers? No, God did.
Amen.
If God puts you in the ministry, no man can vote your ticket out of the ministry.
Amen.
It's God puts you in.
Amen.
It's not down to a vote.
No. Amen.
There's nobody says we'll have a vote and we'll meet Paul on the road to Damascus and we'll give Paul a call.
Amen.
It never happened.
Amen.
It was God that called him.
Glory.
Amen.
When God calls a man, he's called. He can't change it. He doesn't uncall him. And he'll make mistakes, but he doesn't still uncall him. For the gifts and callings are without repentance.
Amen.
If you're called, brother, you're still called. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul thought he was doing God a favor. But God met him and visited him. Paul did these things through ignorant unbelief. Here Paul now gives us the great text. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was chief.
That's right.
But he saved them.
Hallelujah.
Sin is a matter of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. Look with me to Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortionists and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which was within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones. And of all uncleanness, eat God knew the heart. Verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Iniquity means you know to do it and you don't do it. That's iniquity. You know to do it, but you don't bother to do it. May the Lord help every one of us.
Amen.
To guard our hearts.
Amen.
So that we've nothing hidden in our hearts for a brother or a sister.
Right.
But may the Lord help us. And it's hard sometimes. But if you really see the Spirit of God can help you. God can see the heart of every person through your life. It may look beautiful, but whitewashed sepulchres. That's what Jesus called them. He knows the inward. You're all full of iniquity, he said, like the rotting of the flesh, the crawling of the maggots in the tomb. It's unclean. It's rotten. And there's no good in no man. Not one of us could get on a pedestal here tonight. Not one of us could point the finger at the other and say, I'll tell you what, boy, I never was drunk. So what?
That's right.
What's your heart like?
That's right.
Never looked at a woman wrong. So what? What's your heart like?
That's right. Amen.
The Bible still classes all under the same bracket, all have sinned.
Right.
All have sinned! God can see the heart of every person. Your life may be beautiful, but God can see it. Unless you've been born again, unless you've been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you're pure, wicked, hell-deserving sinner. If you've never been to Jesus, if you've never been forgiven, if you've never been saved, you're lost.
Right.
And you're on your way to hell.
Right.
Isn't it an awful thing? Men and women that hear the gospel preached, men and women that sit under the gospel, and they never do nothing about it. They put it off continually. The Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
God is not impressed with man's outward morality. Self-righteousness, that doesn't impress God. He can see right through it. It doesn't impress him. Our boasting doesn't impress God. Paul says, I will not boast but in Christ. That's our boast. It's in the Lord. He saved me.
Amen.
He healed me. It's in the Lord's our boast.
That's right.
God sees man's sinful heart. All of God's mercy to Paul was because Paul was willing to confess his sin. And a self-confessed sinner. He confessed he was a sinner. So he could be saved. I want you to look at someone else, and I'm coming to a close in a moment. My time's gone. Luke 23, verse 40 to 41. But the other answering, these are the 2 feet in the cross, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. The thieves on the cross knew. But God moved on them, and one of them came. And he admitted he was wrong. And as soon as he admitted his condition, you remember Brother Beecham preached and he emphasized, you must recognize your condition first. Our condition without Christ is lost sinners. That's our condition. But thank God he's a savior for no one but sinners.
Amen.
This faith recognized his condition and he could see him on the moment, on the spot. This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He confessed that he deserved death, but crucifixion he was guilty. It was easy for him to be saved because he was conscious of his guilt. But you see, if somebody's not conscious of their guilt, you can do nothing for them. Well, I never sinned. You needed to be saved, but I didn't. You think of that statement. Let somebody shine, they're good enough to get to heaven without Calvary.
Impossible.
They don't need what Christ done, they're saying. What Christ done's in vain. Jesus Christ, I want to emphasize this evening, is the only way back to God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. 2 men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus, Himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as the publicans. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes all that I possess. And the publican stood in the far off, what so much as lift even his eyes up to heaven, but smote himself in the breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognized his condition. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. To everyone that exalteth himself, he shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what then shall I do to inherit eternal life? And you know, if you read on, Jesus says, There's none good, no, not one.
Amen.
None. And then he gives them instructions. Keep the command, I've done it. Sell all you have and follow me. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do too much for him. He wasn't willing to give all. Are you willing to admit your condition tonight? You that's listening in, that's tuned in this evening. If you're not saved, you're a lost sinner. But Christ died for sinners. There's hope for you. All who want a Savior must first take their place as a sinner. Let's stand our feet this evening. A Savior for no one but sinners. My friend, this evening the Lord commendeth His love toward you.
Amen.
While you were a sinner, He commended. God expressed, God showed forth His love. Remember what the Bible says, God is love.
Amen.
He loves you this evening. 1989, coming towards the winter. in a jail cell in High Bank. Suicidal, all sorts of thoughts running through my head. None of my friends come near me. But I heard their sweetest voice. And that voice says, I love you and gave myself for you.
Yeah.
That changed everything. One word from the Master changes everything.
Right.
My friend this evening, Jesus can come in to your situation. Jesus can change it in a moment.
Amen.
There's power in his word. There's power in his blood. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord,
Amen.
You shall be saved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads this evening. If there's someone listening in tonight and you're not saved, will you come to the cross? Will you come to Christ? Will you confess? Yes, preacher, I'm a sinner. If you will, the Lord will save you. Will you call on his name? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a confessed sinner. Save me. The Lord will save you. Father, we thank you this evening for your precious word. We thank you for the provision of our salvation through the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Lord, we thank you this evening of this religion, that this gospel is superior to all other gospel or all other religions, because you're no longer on a cross. You're no longer in a tomb, but you are risen. Risen from the dead, and you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints.
Amen.
Lord, we call upon your lovely name tonight, Lord Jesus. Save the lost, we pray. Heal the sick, we pray. Touch thy own people, we pray. Father, bring a spirit of supplication and joy upon your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, touch every brother, touch every sister under this roof tonight and over these airwaves this evening. I send your word forth in the name of the Lord. And I ask you, Lord, you'll touch and heal in Jesus Christ's name. We pray for dear sister Jennifer McNeil tonight. We ask, Lord, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that you'll know the touch of the Master in Jesus Christ's name. We pray for Brian that he'll know the touch of the Master in Jesus Christ's name. For Brother Ken, for Sister Allison, for the whole fellowship. Lord, that you'll touch them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask you for all our nurses, for all our doctors over this province. May your hand of mercy and grace be upon each one of them, we pray. And we bless your people, Israel,
Amen.
In the name of the Lord this evening.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As a brother Gary comes, God bless you. Thursday night, prayer and Bible study. 7:30, the Lord will. God bless each one.
Not him, come to the Savior, make no delay. Hear in his word, he has shown us.